our gospel this morning, I want us to turn to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. And I will read 11 to 14. But our text this morning is verse 12. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 11 to 14. There is a generation that curses their father and does not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. For our gospel this morning, I would like us to consider the subject, the cleansing for sin. The cleansing for sin. I say we will consider verse 12, which is, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. I would like us to consider this text in five heads. I mean, to break it five heads, to see how this text means to us. Yeah, yeah, can you say, and okay, yeah, and some panobeka if he proved chapter 30, verse 12. Now, the only say, yeah, yeah, share idea at middle group on a cleansing for sin. Yeah, say, a best share a tipo a num five. And the first one, the description given in the text, the second one is the effect of the unwashed filthiness. The third one will be the need for personal acknowledgement of this filthiness. And the fourth one, the three evidences of the need of purity, that we may see how all must mourn and seek this purity who have not been washed. The fifth one to the last is the need for the fountain which never dries to wash this filthiness. So we'll consider this in this text. Okay, the main thing about this text is, I mean, the four verses I read is talking about a generation. But the first verse, which is the verse, the second verse, the verse 12, tell us what is actually what is making them be who they are. And the description given, sometimes we think that maybe it's for a particular generation, which maybe the Proverbs is written a long time, so it's talking about a generation which has passed and gone. But if we look at this closely, you see, since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden by the first man, human nature got corrupted by sin. And by that, you know, our first parent, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, before God came, they took fig leaves to cover themselves. And which has been the norm for every sinner. We might understand all. Accept that we are sinners, but in our mind, but I don't do all bad things. I'm not all that bad. That's what we always do. What they did by putting on fig leaves, I said, oh yes, we have sinned against him. We have sinned, we are naked, but we can cover up. So that is the nature of man. So most of the times, yes, many people will see that, yeah, they are sinners, but they will think that, because I'm not all that bad, I'm still pure. Or sometimes, because others maybe might be doing worse things, and I don't do. I'm a bit better, and God can, I mean, do whatever He'll do with me in a better way. But the truth of the matter is that after the fall, human purity to be pure before God's eye has ever been the case where out of yourself we can become pure. Out of ourselves we can never become pure. Whatever we do from ourselves, which we think can make us right before God, it's never there. It is only outside of us. Purity comes outside of man, and not from within the Creator. It comes from the Creator, and that external nature that can purify us, it cannot be found only in Jesus Christ. He only can purify us from the body of sin, from the filthiness of sin. Because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Ayeka and Openi said, Sir, Nipa, actually, as you were, Garden of Eden, no? Nipa, Bonea, Nipa, ma. Then, so no,
said the Adam and Eve, "Omo ye boni no mo tete a haban e kata omo hu, as Yakobon ba no mo re chire say o mo ye boni de na mum no, nya boni a se ni nya boni sa. Ni e ka se no no aye suban manipa bebre a da so boni. Omo je chim say omo ye de boni fo na mum no. Omo hwe nya papa kakra so omo ye no a, omo say o me ye boni de na mum so de me papa. Na omo ba ye bi ni mo pese Yakobon aji omo chim sa. Ni e ka se ne kura omo ni say Sendipa Hobet, say on your minimum, and Finipa never. And yet, the obey a few more back in the Bemo Hart, and then woman a fee, baby never, and I guess maybe a few banner, a crystal, so penny fever. He can make us accepted before God. So let's consider this generation. We shouldn't look far from us. Every generation that come and go have this sort of generation among them. And this generation is nothing far than any generation who have ever lived after Adam, who have never sought cleansing and purity from God. This is that generation that we are considering them here. Because the verse says, there's a generation that are pure in their own eyes. They are pure in their own and yet not washed from their filthiness. They have not sought such purity through Christ. But they have presumed that, oh, okay, maybe I go to church. I worship God in my own way. So after I worship God. So God, I'm his worshiper. So God should accept me. So this is the category of generation we are talking about. And it's in our day, there's many of such in our day. How many of us don't go to church? How many of us don't assume a religion? Try to do something. We pay our tithes, we join church, and we do whatever we do. And yet we have not sought for cleansing, which is the foundation of assuming Christianity. To become a Christian is not putting yourself in a church or putting yourself in a form of religion, but then you have to be purified first. That's the foundational stage. If you are building a house, you can't put up the structure while there's no foundation. It cannot stand. So trying to build a religious life outside of Christ's purifying grace is baseless. It will never hold before God. It never holds. But in our minds, sometimes we think it holds. The air can say, sa nipa boni sa nipa I want to ask who I come once me omo ye nipa bia nipa mre awo wiase bia ba ko bia ni hu bi wo no mo ne nipa omo pese omo sum nyame na emum no omo ade omo kwan na sum nyame omo pese omo a esum omo nyame omo kwan so na emum no omo pese omo ba omo nya hote a Christ de manipa na ye ka de ka ne se answer no be ye Christ nipa ya mbeto agena tu na o se onya ahotia efi Kristo mu edikan ese na edikan na so anya sa de no a eno de esu ma ba so na media de obe bia esu na me ni eno na epese ye kan John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3 that we just read, you remember when he was baptizing the people were coming, and these two people Sadducees and the Pharisees, they also came to be baptized. And when he saw them, he said that, "Oh, generation of vipers, who had warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Why did he call them generation of vipers? We don't have time to go in detail about these two categories of people. But these two people were at the time of John the Baptist and when Jesus Christ, they were among the religious people of the time. And they seek to know the law, they seek to teach others, and people see them publicly as, godly people, okay? But when they came to John the Baptist, he said that generation of vipers. The truth of the matter is that these people put up a show of religion. They've assumed religion. They try to do some things. But also Christ told them that they are like white sepulchres. It's like a sepulcher held white very nicely, but inside are rotting bones and other things. They assume their own religion before God, but these ones have not been washed from their filthiness. So he said that generation of vipers. A viper is a very, very, very venomous snake. So to refer them to generation of vipers is serious, because this when Christ also came, they were the greatest opposers of Christ, because Christ teaches purity through him. He said, come unto me, and I came to die so that people will be saved, people will be delivered from sin. And the Pharisees said, no, you, who are you? You are the son of Mary and Joseph. You know your father was a carpenter. You claim to be God. You claim to be a savior. This is what the people were telling Jesus Christ. So this generation, this Pharisees and Sadducees, in their time, represent such generation. And as I said before, our time, there are many people like this who assume religion, put up a show, put up a kind of worship for God, and yet are not washed from their filthiness. We will proceed further to see the meaning of this, the description given to them, and this filthiness, what actually it is. So this generation are called generation of vipers by John the Baptist. And as I said, Christ, when he also came, he also told them that they are whited sepulchres. And anyone who assumes religion without coming to Christ, first, for cleansing, is like a whited sepulchre. You try to learn the way of religion. You learn to become whatever it is on the outside, but the heart will still be as it is. And God will never accept such kind of religion. Now let's consider their description. The scope of the description shows that these people, they have a high opinion before God, and they think of themselves to be pure before God. But here you see that when you read the text, they are pure in their own eyes. The purity here is by themselves. They have made a measurement of how pure they will be before God. Who is man to measure himself before God? And thinking this way before God, it's like putting up actual reformation of life. Okay, Bible say, I shouldn't speak roughly. Oh, okay, I should dress properly. There are things I shouldn't do. You pick all those things, and some of you even go further. Oh, there's a meat I shouldn't eat, some food I shouldn't eat, and all that. And they think when they do certain things, I'm obeying the law, and I'm okay. Okay, they take the outward reformation they do as inner transformation, but there should be a transformation of the heart first before anyone can assume religion. The air can say, now go away, you know. You have a similar verse in the kind, I can't form. Omo ya go for omo ni su omo hati wanya mi enim. Na omo enso ehu omo se obi a I say eni su ono oye nyo me nya pepepe ne mum no ase ye ka no na kuma mu no me bi eni homo a esi. And they take out of religion as inward sanctification. I'm sure everyone who has been born again knows this, that salvation comes with inward sanctification. There should be cleansing of the heart from sin, and then the living place of Christ, wherein sin cannot dwell. So anyone who assumes religion and certain has not taken place in the heart, which comes through salvation through Jesus Christ, if you do that, it's like you want to put up the show, and that you want to mean that you are sanctified before God, yet you are not. And as we know, I mean, God give common grace. I mean, God is so good to all his creation. He give us food, water, everything, jobs, even, I mean, anything that we have, both the saved and unsaved, the righteous and unrighteous. But some people also think, when everything around me is going on well, I go to church. Actually, I have not sought salvation through Christ, but I pray, and quote unquote, God answers me, my life is better, my children are quiet and everything, oh, God has favored me. So some also take such common grace as what? A saving grace. And many have been deceived by this. And many people, as well, those who have been in churches from infancy to an old age, and they have not sought cleansing through Christ, such sin is always a case for many of them. Because after I've been in a church from infancy, I've been brought up, I've learned the norms, I mean, I know many things of the church, I participate in so many things, but I've not actually given myself to Jesus Christ. I've not gone to him for that cleansing. But yet, because I've worshipped God well from my infancy, now my life is good. I have my children are secure, my job is secure, I'm living in a good place. Oh, I'm blessed. And many people say, oh, I'm blessed. Why are you blessed? Oh, everything's going on well. And such is a deception. This is a common grace. Those who have never been to church before, those who have never been mentioned the name of God before, have also enjoyed the better things than like that. Always, I use the Arabs as an example. Because in Arab countries, they are all, I mean, almost all of them are Muslims. They don't worship God. They worship their Allah, which, you know, is not the true God that they worship. And yet, they are blessed than all, quote-unquote, Christian nations that we have. They have everything, most of the Arab nations. They have everything. And yet, some of us in our nation will assume that this common grace of things that we have is a blessing that shows that God has blessed us. The air can say, Bimon Sufa, and Shira, Yamkon Shira, the power of Brabum.
So we look at these two, description, the positive part and also the negative. So let me read back again the verse that our verse then. There's a generation that are pure in their own eyes. The first part is the positive description of these people. They are pure in their own eyes. How does it take to be a pure in your own eyes? It's like somebody who has done something wrong, and almost everybody knows that he has done something wrong, and yet he only knows that he's right. That's the description I can give for this. So it means that they are proud. They are not willing to submit to what is reality, but in their own mind, they are right. Going verse 13 tells us what? There's a generation. Oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. These people, that the further description, we show that what? It's a pride, their state of positive, what they think that they are pure, is in quote unquote, opposite of their real purity. It's pride. Out of their pride, they think they are better. They are good. They have a high opinion of themselves. They have a sense of superiority, despite their shortcomings. They are masters of their own lives. That's what it is. They are very high about themselves. And since I'm going forward, I'm going to be in the same way. And is it not so? When it comes to our how we live, some people, because of maybe their tribe or their race, sometimes things they are better. We have racial segregation and all that. We are superior. So if you are superior, then you are the better race. Quote unquote, God has made them better than the other people. And when it comes to tribal level also, our tribe does this and that and that. And we had them, God has blessed us so much. We do this, we do that. So based on that, they feel so big. And they will not see themselves that indeed there's any sin or any deformity in their character or whatever they do. They use this racial or tribal or whatever quality to assume purity before God, which is dangerous. It's common in our nation. Ghana here, some tribe will look upon another tribe and say, "Who is that way? You are from this tribe, or this all that you are." And people, even in churches, they do. Oh, this church, majority of them are of this tribe, and all that. And they do that division, and I'm part of the bigger part, so I'm okay. God has said, but we are doing much for God. And it's a very serious thing. And this is the description these people are having. The arm of superiority. When it comes to the slave trade, we have so many stories about how some white people was thinking that the black race was inferior to their race, and like Hitler's time, he tried to preserve the pure race by eugenics so that they would kill the bad race, so quote unquote. So they all those thinking that they are superior. Who taught them so? Human mind and deformity. Okay, so that is what we are talking. This is the generation we are talking about, and this is very common in every age, as we saw the Sadducees and the Pharisees. I think we don't have time to say much about them. The Pharisees and the Sadducees at that time, they were so quote unquote the superior religious authority, and yet their hearts were, as I said, like the whitest sepulchre, polished on the outside, rotten in the inside. The negative part is this. The negative part is rather the reality of these people. It's interesting how the writer puts it forth. From what they are not in reality, they are not washed from their filthiness. That's the real nature of these people. Though they see themselves to be pure in their own eyes, but the true nature of these people is filth. And what is this filth? And the filth here, that's the defilement here,
as it's expressed means sin. By the context of it, it's sin. The filth here is sin. And how he used the filth to express his life, excrement. Some of you have been besmeared with excrement. Dirty oneself with excrement. You have become filthy. Which also signifies the pollution sin has put on human soul. Which before God, we stink before him. Though man will try to, as we live in this world, be as perfect as it is in his own eyes. But before God, unless that sin on man is cleared and washed and cleansed, man is filthy. It's like being besmeared with excrement. The can he said, in church, Muna, a verse in my children, I also try, Miss Manipanity, a fan, and which I say, or more, the almost chest, or more, and what you know, the chest, and we are much more. I don't know yet, dear, young boy, you know, now, dear, what I in China, so I say, and I ain't a cry for, Mose, or more, a goofy, as we are, a day, yan, I know, ah, no more if you turn it on your book winning. And then, if there's this filth, then the necessity of purity or washing is also supposed. Anyone who is dirty, we need what? A cleansing before it will be accepted. Let's say I'm dirty with dirt. I need to wash myself with water. Okay, I'm dirty with oil. I don't use water to wash oil. I use a special chemical to wash oil, grease. You can never wash grease with water. If I'm dirty with paint, you don't use water to wash it, okay? So every form of filth has its agent to clear it. The can say, if you be a when everybody be home, you are there. I say to me the paper. Now can say, what the ango you want to be finish your paper? Ensure what the paper you pass across and through a paper hole. And I say, what the friend is saying, grease ensure your home. You are there also paper to ensure your paper. So this. What it is that has, I mean, we need to use to clean this. We'll come to that later. That means if there's a filth on such generation, then washing and cleaning is also supposed. So they need a proper washing, though it's in their own eyes, but the proper washing has to be done. And if such is the state they are, then it's a great sin, because when the issues of sin, like their heart is bubbling with sin, they will never see it. Whenever there's a warning against sin, they will never see it, because they are always pure. Who are you to judge a pure person? You, who are you to judge a pure person? And as they claim to be pure, then God even might not, I mean, be able to be their standard, because they have set their own standard. And as I said, everything needs to be cleansed by some agent. Sin, the only agent that can clean sin, the substance that can cleanse sin, is the blood. And it's not any blood, but the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is the only cleansing agent for sin. Nothing but the blood. It cleanses the heart, it removes the guilt of sin, the penalty of sin, and the power of corruption in man. That is the only blood that can wash away sin. Not the human blood. You and I, our blood are tainted with sin. We cannot die for anyone. Okay, so let's look at some of the effects of this defilement of sin. To just remind ourselves of, if that this is the state, what are some of the effects of this defilement? This defilement has ruined all human excellence. There's no beauty in man because of sin. Doesn't matter how you are well-dressed or how you are well-managed. Sin, before God, has made us so defiled. And our excellency, when he created Adam and Eve, he said that everything was good in the Garden of Eden. Sin has mastered such excellence. Mankind has lost all worthiness by sin and uncleanness. As Job chapter 15, verse 14 to 16 says that, what is man that he should be clean? And he which is born of a woman that he should be righteous? Behold, he, that is God, putteth no trust in his sins. Yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man, which drinketh iniquity like water? Look at the description of what that Job, the good man Job, can give. Job lived a perfect life. Look at the description he can give to man. Man, born of a woman, is filth. Because our first parents sinned, and their nature we have. So we are all sinful. Okay, so the excellency of man is taken away. There's no beauty in man before God. The second thing also is that it has taken away the peace of a good conscience, which should be a continual health to the soul. When God created man in the Garden of Eden, man, because of perfection, had a peace of conscience. But I'm sure all of us can testify that what, let's say, if you not accept that sin at all, if you do wrong, what comes to you? I mean, generally, even if nobody even points it to you, you have the reflection that I've done something wrong. And then it goes on like that. But when the word of God also comes to press it upon your heart, then you see the guilt of it. But when God created man at first, there was nothing like that. There was nothing like guilt, and that there was peace of conscience before God. The heck can I say? A man who pump boy nipa no. When nipa, I walk akuma en ha high. The bi nipa akuma daye. If you say when you say onye bone onya mi ni. Na bone ba enti na man nipa enya akuma. Nipa akuma ntu ni. The bi nipa ha high. The bi nipa I say bi esan ona say bi sa. And the bi nipa fiche bi a odi best source ali ya. So that is the nature of man. In Isaiah chapter 48 verse 22, the Bible says that there is no peace, said the Lord, unto the wicked. The wicked is a sinner. There's no peace. You might claim to have peace. You know, in our world today, UN and other people try to, United Nations, peace, whatever, peace this and all that. Oh, when there's a conflict, then they will go and call a prominent person, go and settle the conflict, and oh, there's peace. That's not the peace we are talking about here. There's a peace that comes to the heart that you know that before God, you have not sinned because of Christ. Before God, you are justified. Before God, the wrath of God that is hanging on all sinners is not hanging on you. And that your life is in Christ Jesus. Wherein the sin that has made you enemy with God has been taken away. This is the peace you are talking about. And this peace, you have it in the heart. It's not the world peace that we talk about, the world peace and whatever. No, we are talking about peace in the heart. Peace that is everlasting, that lives on forever. This defilement, this filth also, has separated man from God. It has brought separation. And it started when they sinned. Actually, God told them that the day that Adam and Eve, they eat the fruit of the garden, they would die, which was telling them of a separation. Because God is a living God. Those who are dead cannot relate to him. So there's a separation implied there. Okay, so there's a separation of man from God because of this filth. God is so pure, he cannot look upon sin. God is so holy, he cannot look upon sin. So if I'm besmeared with filth, I cannot approach him. I mean, look at even our normal life circumstances. You know a place that you respect that place very much, the people there. No, you wouldn't want to go there with a dirty dress. No, but unless in your good sense, you never do that. You never do that. You want to go there, dress nicely, so that we'll be accepted. So before God, we have to also dress nicely. And the dress we have is in Christ. Christ has to wash us and give us that the blood and the power and the cleansing that will allow us to come before God. Sometimes people think that, oh, God's salvation is for, I mean, because a few people have believed on him. God is so choosy. No. It's only sin that has separated man from God. In Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2, we say that, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot see, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Even Christians, when our prayers are not heard, sin is the cause. When our prayers are not heard, even Christians who are children of God, sin blocks blessings and everything. And what about somebody who has not been washed from sin? For he is forever separated from God. But interestingly, when I have life in this world, I relate, and I think that I'm okay. No, but that is not the life we are talking about. There's a gulf between you and God. And then, so this reference is to this generation. They are not washed from their sins. And there's how many of this generation are careless about this situation? Let us all of us examine our hearts. Am I washed from my filth of sin? Have I sought for that cleansing of sin in Christ Jesus? If I have not, yet I have assumed religion, what should I have to do? It should give you a matter of thinking. Oh, this is my state. And truly, I know God's truth. If I have been washed from my sin, I know it. If I have not been washed, I know it. Your God, by His Holy Spirit, testifies to us and gives us evidences of being washed from that sin, where God is in communion with me. But many are careless about this. But some people, when they lose the idolatry, idol they worship. Example was Micah in Judges chapter 18, 23-24. Micah at that time, at the time of Judges, everybody was doing what he wanted. Micah had some idols and he consecrated a Levite to be his priest. So this Levite was his priest for some time, and the tribe of Danites, at that time, they have not actually had their place of, the habitation. So they were always moving from place to place to look for a place to reside. So they go to Micah's place and they saw this Levite, being a priest to Micah. And they took the priest and the idols and they took them away. So when Micah came and they told him that they have taken his idol, he chased them. He ran after them, crying after they should give him his idol and his priest. That is his God. But what is man? God has created us. Sin has separated us from him. And we don't chase after him. We don't look where we can find God. Where is God? Where can I? When Job was in trouble, Job said, where can I find God? Because he has gone off from me. When I pray, he doesn't hear. How many of us think of that? If we have not been washed from our sin, do we think of that? You know, life is not just living and eating and sleeping and waking. That is, even animals do like that. They eat and sleep and eat and die. Life for humans is far above that. We are humans. That is why we are humans. See, God created that we will seek him. Like Micah, he's chasing after the Danites. They didn't give him those, he has to go back. But God, when you come after God, he'll be found. God will come back to you. Only through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Okay, the fourth part of what should also bring is what? It brings God's judgment. It doesn't only separate us, give us bad conscience. It also brings to us God's judgment. It attracts the wrath of God if it is not washed. God, who is holy, can never look upon sin and let it go unpunished. God will always punish sin. And if we are in the state of unwashed uncleanness, God will have to judge us. In Psalm 7, verse 11 to 12, the Bible says what? God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will whet his sword. He has bent his bow and made it ready. God, it's as if God is always chasing the wicked with a sword to cut them off. That's how the description, and it's true. Every day a sinner lives, it's a grace, it's a long suffering from God for him to repent. Every day a sinner has, it's a long suffering from God. Sometimes we overlook this, but Satan and sin will let us also overlook, because we think we are of our own self. As this description is, we are people which have high opinion of ourselves. Before God will bring even judgment upon people, he will wait. He's long-suffering. He's good and gracious. He will bear with us so long. Even some of us who are saved, we can all testify that when we think of the bad thing we have done and the free thing that we have done, and yet God's mercy upheld us at that time, that he didn't cut us off. Which even some people who are still sinners are not even doing some of the things we have even done. We think and we say, oh God, you are so merciful. But sinners, people of this generation who are not washed from their sin, doesn't see this. But there's judgment. There's a warning to all those that God is not letting you live because of how good you are, but because God wants you to repent and come back to him. Because when sin increases and goes on, one day it comes to a stop. God, yes, is so merciful, but when it's coming to judgment, it's so swift. Swifter than anything. He comes so quick, and then surely he will pour his wrath upon those who have sinned against him, and there will be great punishment on them. And as I said, many always look down upon this and they trivialize it. Do you remember Lot's in-laws? When Lot told them that, the angels came to tell Lot, this place is going to be destroyed by God. So they told, go and tell your people to come. And the in-laws, so his daughter, they laughed into scorn. You are joking. This city is full of enjoyment. We have been sinning since our fathers. No, but nothing has happened to this nation. But the Bible says the day Lot left the city, God rained hailstone and destroyed it. Such is the swift destruction God brings to those who will not seek cleansing through Jesus Christ. The air can say, I think we will have mama or more. I was a fear, one day by a young group of your home. I say, but me a cosa, and a dark pen on your point in Bubba. Now, upon Emma, what I say, a co-abra bosso, and Rumpa, if you say, or a more broad and you must hear. And Timra or Demo, I did be out in Arsenal or change the version of South Final Banning. So, this is what we are talking about. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 6, the Bible says what? The abominable shall also have their part in the lake of fire, which burn with fire and brimstone. Even in this life, let's say, okay, I didn't wash myself from this sin, and I lived good as in your eyes, because you had abundance of everything. The day of judgment is coming. The final day is coming. Yes, you will die, and this will, yes, you will go and face judgment. What is appointed unto men once to die, after this judgment. Judgment is there. It is waiting for those who are filled with sin. It is waiting for those who will not come to Christ for this cleansing. That is what is there for. Judgment is coming. Okay, now let's look at the third part of our heading. The need for personal acknowledgement of this truth. There's a need for each and every one of us who have not really sought for this cleansing to come and seek it. There's always the opportunity there. And let none deceive himself that, as I said before, I can justify myself before God by my own good works. And as I said, some also think to live a respected life. Some also try to do some good things. Some nowadays, it's very common, because of the radio and the television, some actress or whatever, or a rich person who will do good to some orphanage, and they will just take the pictures and bring it. Oh, he went to donate this, and so, oh, and was, oh, he's a good man, or maybe he's an MP, the road is destroyed, the road is damaged, and he comes to fix it. Oh, he's a good MPO, and then people think that is how, yeah, it's good to do good, it's good to do good to the poor, but that does not constitute cleansing of that sin. Your sins still remain. You can do good, but God, it will never count before God. It's good to do good. And as I said, some have also assumed religion. Yes, religion without Christ is nothing. If really they know that, they know the severity of God's judgment and the purity of God's law, they will never assume religion in that sense. But I'm sure God should help each and every one of us to see this, that yes, God is pure, and yet there's judgment, and there's a separation from God and man, and that we seek to come back to him. So unless each and everyone who is in this generation, in this category, see his inability of himself before the law of God, it's pure, 100%. Until you see that, you will never run for surety. What I'm talking about is, if I'm convicted of sin, or let's say crime, I've taken to the lockup. If I don't know that, if I don't take a surety, somebody to bail me, they'll put me into jail. Before you go to court, you run away to go and find someone who can come and bail you. Or you make calls so that somebody will come. You have sinned before the law of God. The one who can bail you, your surety is Christ Jesus. Only he has the assets enough to bail you. Because every surety must have enough that asset or funds to qualify for the fines that they are going to pay. God, they will release you. So, if you come to God in this way, see your inability, you run to Christ. You have not come to Christ for this claim because you think you are sufficient. You think what you do in your life before God is better. But remember Naaman, he was a leper. There was a Naaman, he mentioned that his position, his possession, how big he is on the military army, he has helped Syria, his master, to let Syria have peace and rule so many nations. But I said that he was leprous. And this leprosy in Naaman didn't let him rest. He has to travel from Syria to Israel, to Ahab, to come and tell him that some young girl told him that there's what, a cure for leprosy here. So where is it? And even Naaman, after he came, he was still retaining his pride. So his people told him that no, to go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, it's nothing. It's simple. Just obey and do it. He went to wash 7 times and he was cleansed. Except you see this simplicity of our message about Christ. It's so complicated. And you think of it as such and see your need as Naaman who traveled from Syria, such a prominent man, just to come and to be washed in Jordan because of his leprosy. And sin, indeed, it's like leprosy, which cannot be cured unless you, go for where it can be cured. So Naaman was cured in Israel because he came seeking after. Will you seek after God through Christ? Will you seek after him? Unless you are purged from that corruption by the blood of Christ, as I've been saying, and then you are sanctified, and it's the washing. And some people think that the washing is water baptism. It's not water baptism. As I said, every death has its cleansing agent. I mean, you know, not every death can be cleansed with any chemical. So sin also has its agent. It's only the blood of Christ. And you can come to him through faith, through Jesus Christ. Our time is gone. I would have wanted to go to the fourth and the fifth, but I will put it all in a summary. But the fourth was talking about the evidences of such sinful things in us. How our thoughts are, how our words, our thoughts, which is filthy, because the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, the defilement of our heart, so our speeches also testify. So those around us, our friends and our colleagues, if they are not washed and they are not saved, you see their conversation testify their filthiness. That's what I was going to talk about. And also, the action they take, the action people take when it comes to faith in Christ and holding on to things of the world and things that make them happy, things that make them satisfied and make them pure in their own eyes, they go after them. And I'll give a story. Somebody gave a story, an illustration to, last week, they said that a dog follows two men. So long as they go together, and you know not who the dog's master is, they are going together, the dog is following them, of them two. But let them come to a parting road, and one go one way, and another go another way. Then shall we know which of them owns the dog? Yes, we are like the dog. When things of God through Christ come, and the things that it makes us satisfied comes, where our heart goes, if we still retain our hardness and never come to Christ, it teaches that yes, we are for the things that are not of Christ and not of God. So that, like the dog, that's what we are. When it comes to our decision, the filthiness in our heart determines which one we take. And even when it comes to things of general religion, when a Christian is backslided and his life is not in line with God and his ways, his choices is not different, will not sometimes be different like the unbeliever, because he has left sin to control his choice. Like the dog, he will choose where his master is. And else you cannot serve God and mammon. You can never serve God, know him, his cleansing grace, his washing of regeneration through Jesus Christ, while you return to the joy of worldly things, entertainment, possessions, positions, whatever you think gives you that comfort of life, without you knowing that God, through Christ, the blood is shed on the cross of Calvary, is the fountain through which we can be washed away. You see, sin is like a well bubbling up all the time. Like somebody described, like a bubbling sea. It bubbles up and it comes. You can't keep it at bay. Always it comes this way, it comes that way. But you know, the blood of Christ is a fountain. Like the hymn writer said, there is a fountain filled with blood in Hymn 248. Drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The filth of sin are washed away when you die yourself by faith. I mean, it's not physical. You have to come to it by faith. Acknowledge your filthiness, your sin. Call upon him. God is ever closer. God is not far from us. Because of our sin, he's so far from us. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain on his day. The thief on the cross with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there may I do vile as he wash all my sins away. Yes, my sin may be as dark and deep as whatever. As we read in Isaiah chapter 1, the verse 18 is the word. Though if you read as crimson, it can be pointed as smooth. Nothing can wash away my sin but the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Oh dear Lord and Father, all mankind, you come today, we praise thy holy name. Oh Lord, open thy way to our hearts and grant us grace, the Lord. Oh, any among us who have never sought such cleansing in Christ, will come to him. Oh Lord, may never any trivialize such a thing, for such is our hope and such is our dependence on the rock of Christ, the blood is shed on the cross of Calvary, the washing of regeneration. Oh Lord, we plead, may this be the theme of all gathered here. And Lord, those who have not sought such cleansing will come to Christ. Oh Lord, a fountain that is open for sin, or a fountain that is not covered, oh Lord, may such be open for all sinners. Oh Lord, may they hold on this by faith. May they come where, oh Lord, they will find thee. Oh, may they know that you are not far from any of us, but you are closer than even we ever think. So be with us and bless us, oh Lord, for we come praying. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.